What's up, everybody? Metal Dave here, along with my co-host Jason McMaster, bringing you another episode of the Talk Louder podcast. Today, we are joined by guitarist John Five. You know him, of course, as a member of Motley Crue, Rob Zombie's band, Marilyn Manson. He did work with David Lee Roth, Rob Halford. His list of credits goes on and on and on. But we're here today to talk to him about his Kiss collection. He's got a Kiss memorabilia collection that's second to none, and he's sharing it with the public via a museum that he's opened up called Knights in Satan's Service. It's a museum that he's opening in Los Angeles. He's selling tickets, and you come spend some time with him, a lot of time with him, apparently a couple hours, maybe, I forget what he said, but he's only taking six people at a time, six visitors at a time. He's going to show you around his Kiss collection, answer questions, tell stories, play pinball with you on a Kiss pinball machine, and just make it a really, really, really personal, cool experience with John Five and his Kiss collection. I was blown away. I saw some stuff that I didn't think anybody owned. It was incredible.
I think that it's like probably for a collector who also happens to be an iconic guitar player, who's pretty much household name and has been around long enough now that if you don't know who he is, you should.
Yeah.
He's a virtuoso guitar player.
Wizard.
He makes solo records. He plays, and he's done work with every modern band, and now he's in Motley Crue. I feel like him being a Kiss fan, and I tell him that, we talk about that in this short but sweet hang with John Five, about how it's his romance with the band, and that he's become friends with the original members of the band, and that he has things from their personal collection, this collection, that are now John Five's collection. It's important to realize how important this is to John, and not just the fact that, wow, look at this, and I got this from, it's not that. He's a fan.
Yeah.
So the fact that he is letting people come into basically into his house and check out his toys, right?
Yeah, figuratively speaking, but yeah.
I think is the most beautiful, organic,
yes,
kind of weird, natural feeling thing that, hey, you're a kid, you like Kiss? Check this out. And you get excited like you're a little kid. It's the best idea. It's the best idea.
Yeah, so he made the point in the interview, you know, that meet and greets are one thing when you go see a band and you pay for the meet and greet and all that stuff. But even in his own words, that lasts about 30 seconds or whatever. This is a very unique experience in the sense that you literally hang out and walk around and ask questions about the merch and the memorabilia. He tells stories with you. It's a very chill, very personal thing. And like you said, it is. It's a guy who's sharing his collection and can't wait to tell you all about it. And when you see some of the stuff he has, you'll have a million questions, because some of this stuff is the rarest of the rare. It's pretty incredible.
I think he's a game changer of a sort of iconic personality, as well as his exhibit. His Kiss Museum is also a game changer as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I rattled off a list of his accolades and the bands that he's been associated with. We should also, of course, mention John Five and the Creatures, his own band.
Yes.
They tour regularly as well. For Kiss nerds like me and you, and spending time with John and hearing the stories, absolutely incredible. The museum is called Knights in Satan's Service. It's opening in Los Angeles. He's giving guided tours throughout the month of May. Go to his website and look for ticket information, and do yourself a favor and try to get out there and check it out. It's incredible.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Enjoy John Five today on the Talk Louder podcast.
Hey, welcome. This is exciting shit.
Yeah, it's really, really, really exciting.
Yeah, Kit, I mean, when I saw that we had an opportunity to talk to you, as much as we'd love to talk about your music, the idea that we're talking about Kiss today, I was like, this is going to be a total nerd fest. This is going to be perfect. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just such a, nobody's ever done this before. And, you know, I just thought, what a cool thing to do, you know, because no one's ever done it before. And I just thought, why not, you know? Why not? Because Kiss fans are so fanatic, and with the merchandising and all that stuff, and this is a chance, you know, could be the only time to, you know, really do this and look at everything and check everything out.
Yeah.
Now I have to, I'm trying so hard to not talk over you guys.
Go ahead.
Because obviously, you know, I can probably speak for millions, but they took over my life.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. So is all of this stuff, these collectibles, they belong to you? Am I correct?
Yes. Everything that is going to in the museum, everything belongs to me. I've been collecting my whole life. So it is a lifelong journey, if you will. So I started when I was like 7 years old. So it's been, definitely a lifelong journey, but it's, you know, it's history because all of this stuff was spread all over the world. And, you know, if this didn't come into my possession, maybe it would have been thrown away. Maybe it would have been, who knows, there's a lot of disasters that go on, floods, tornadoes, fires, whatever, you know. So a lot of this stuff might have not even been around anymore. And a lot of these things are one of one, and they're, you know, 50 years old. Yeah. Some are over 50 and some are just about to be 50 years old.
So, can you give us you don't have to hold it to the camera, but can you give us a short list of the one of ones?
The one of ones, there's a lot of them. Like Paul's belt that he wore on the cover of Hotter Than Hell. There's only one.
Oh my God.
Ace wore, when, you know, their first couple of Kiss shows, they played this place called the Daisy. Yeah. And I have Ace's belt from that show. And there's pictures of them on stage, you know, no one's there and stuff like that. And his mom made this belt for him. And that. And then there's Gene's outfit from 1974 that he wore on the cover of Hotter Than Hell.
Is that real leather? Is it, yes. When it was real leather? That's what I thought.
Real thick leather. And that's why I'm saying to the people when they come to the museum, they can touch it. They can feel it because it's so thick and so tough because no one's going to hurt it. You know, you can drag that thing, you know, when you're riding a car, you can drag it from the car and nothing's going to happen to it because it's real thick leather.
Well, wow. And they used to say in interviews, it would get so sweaty and fucked up that it would stand up on its own in the corner when it would dry.
And that's exactly how it is here because no one's worn this since 1974. And because it's such thick leather.
What would you say is your most valuable piece, and what is your most personal piece, the piece that means the most to you personally?
Probably the Gene outfit, because it's like so iconic and, you know, everybody knows it. It's the one with the skull on the back of the, you know, outfit and all that.
That's
stuff.
That's the costume I have.
Yeah.
The Gene 74, that's the one I have.
Yeah.
With the spikes on the, he has like.
No, that's 75.
Oh, that's 75. That's the one I have with the skull on the front.
Yeah, the skull on the front. Right. The skull on the front is actually from 74, and then he cut it out, and then he put it on the back. So okay. And I talked to Gene about this, and I said, why'd you put it on the back? And he goes, I couldn't. It was so hard to breathe.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, because they were playing these places and sweating and dying. And it was, I mean, it's like wearing a motorcycle jacket zipped up.
Yeah.
To here, yeah. You know, so there was no, you couldn't breathe.
How did you acquire that? How do you end up with that?
just, that's the cool thing. Like when I started this Instagram Knights in Satan service, people would DM me, and you know, a lot of the fans are getting older and getting ready to, you know, go on to another chapter of their life, and they're selling things off. So that's how I acquired it.
Wow. And so is that, back to my question, was that your most valuable piece or your most personal piece?
I would say both, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I have like Jeans Destroyer boots, like, and there's none of them. No, they don't exist anymore. There's only one pair left. So, and so that's pretty iconic. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff like that. And there's everything in here, everything.
Have you ever worn those boots to the corner store or anything?
So, you know, it's funny. No, it's a good question. Like, I would never put any of this stuff on because, first of all, there's like mold in the boots. There's like, you know, the blood, and there's probably piss and everything because they smell, you know, they're old.
Yeah.
They're old.
Yeah. How much of your collection would you say is official merch versus bootleg merch? Do you even deal with bootleg or?
So that's a great, great, great question. I have everything that was official, but here's the thing. I collect everything from 73 to 83. So even things that are not official, they are from the era. Okay. So I can get like, you know, all this cool stuff from Argentina or South America, anywhere in South America, could be from 1979. I'm going to grab it, you know, I'm going to grab it. And all these buttons and pins and stuff from Australia and the UK, I'm going to grab that stuff, you know, because it's from 1980 and things like that. So anything of the era, I collect.
Wow. Have you ever been tempted to sell or trade any of your stuff for another piece?
Only if I have a double. Now, I'll buy something if it's an insane price, and I say to myself, well, I can use this for a trade.
Yeah.
But I've never sold anything that I was going to need. No.
Okay. What about, what's on your bucket list of things to acquire?
There, you know, I don't know. There's, and it sounds so like, oh, well, whatever. You know what? I don't even want to say because people can hold that above my head and they go, right. Oh, well, we're going to charge him an arm and a leg for this, you know?
Smart. Yeah.
Right. So you well,
you're a, and you're open. A fan. You're a fan first, above all of this, anyway. So you're keeping that intact. I mean, this is not a money grab. I feel like it's a service.
It's absolutely a service. Like
and a guilty pleasure and a joy for you because, again, full circle, you're a fan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, is. I'm gonna.
It's a beautiful thing, man.
It really is because I use myself as an example. And I said to myself, would I want to do this? Mm. And I said to myself, hell yeah, I would want to do this. Like, let me give you an example. Hold on. I'm going to give you an example of something.
This is what I wanted him to do. This is what I was trying to get him to do. It wasn't bait, but yeah, right. I wanted him to get excited about something.
Yeah.
So this here, I'll put it on. Let me put this on really quick just to give you an example of what.
Oh my God.
So this is the.
Yes.
So he wore this glove from Alive. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is from 1975.
Wow.
I'm freaking right now, dude.
And you know, this is his from 1975. So I've looked at this a billion times, right? And photos.
Yeah.
So now
I'm looking at it right now across the room. Yeah.
So now I'm thinking, okay, well, what is this? Like, I want to know what this is made of. And if you could see, there's the blood here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you can see it, but
yeah.
So this has not been put on by him since 1975. Anyways, here's the thing why I think this is great. You know, people can come and go, oh, This is hard leather.
Oh, wow.
I would have guessed. Hard leather.
Wow. I always thought it was like foam.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah.
Yeah.
Because the ones that I made are foam because I'm a dork, right? And it's
but yeah, you can see the stitching and everything.
Oh my God. Yeah. You don't really see that in photos, do you?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what's cool about it is like people will be able to come and, you know, say, oh, wow, I had no idea. And that's the cool shit, you know?
Awesome.
Sorry, I got a phone call. So I'm just going away. Sorry.
That's all right.
And, cool. You know, and, you know, cool stuff like that. The documentation in here in this place is ridiculous. You know, there's every ticket, every pass, you know, newspapers, magazines from all over the world, albums from all over the world. It would take you hours and hours and hours and hours to go through everything in here. So it's going to be a great time.
Have you ever had it appraised?
It's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it is.
I was waiting for Dave to ask that question. He's the guy that asked those kinds of, what's in your wallet, man? You know, that guy.
Yeah.
Have the KISS guys ever seen your museum?
Peter, like all of the guys help. Like they give me information. Like Peter gives me information. Ace gives me information about things. Gene, I talk to Gene all the time and about stuff. And they're all very helpful with everything. Because it's, you know, it's the history. It's rock and roll history.
Yeah, of course. And why cut off at 83? I think I know the answer, but I'm just curious to hear it from you. Is kind of the magic gone after 83 as far as the visual collectible?
Don't make anybody mad here, Dave.
Well, honestly, it is. I have to have a cutoff point of someplace. And that's where a coin management stopped. That was their last album with makeup on. Mm. And so that was just my cutoff.
That's a proper year, I think, to cut off as far as, you know.
I mean, there's great shit after that, but it's just, you know, you can't fit anything else in here.
Right.
So you talked a little bit about some of the stuff you've got from Gene and, you touched on a few of the guys, but one by one, Gene excluded maybe, what's the most interesting or coolest piece you have from each guy?
Well, this is something interesting that a lot of people don't know about. There's two things. Well, Peter came to a show of mine because we're super close. He came to a show and he brought me when KISS first went to Canada. When they went to Canada on the Destroyer tour, he brought me his tour jacket.
Hmm.
And
Is that the silk jacket or the?
No. It's the cover of Destroyer on the back of the jacket, the cover of Destroyer, but they're on top of Canada. So it's a really rare jacket. Wow. And then Peter's brought me a bunch of concert posters, you know, throughout time and things like that. And I just love the guy to death. In 1977, they had a, they were all gifted these Monopoly boards. Mm. So Gene, Paul, Ace, Peter, and Bill O'Coin, because they were going to take over the world. And so they, each guy got a Monopoly board, and you could see their self, you know, like each member's in jail. So it's super rare. I'm going to like see if I can show you the Monopoly. Okay. Let's see if I can do this. Now you have to help me and tell me if you can see it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So each guy got this.
Wow.
And you can see, I don't know. Can you see Ace there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In jail.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was in Ace's house for a long time. So, you know, I was lucky enough to get that. you know, things
I've
like
never seen never, that.
Oh yeah. It was just a gift, you know, and I know that Peter still has his but there's a hole in it. But I don't think Gene or Paul has theirs anymore.
Mm.
When you know, over time, all this stuff gets thrown away or they move or there's problems or there's earthquakes or who knows, whatever happens. But, you know, the original artwork for Destroyer was thrown away.
Whoa.
Yeah. Nah. They were moving offices and they had movers. And that was left, you know, maybe they didn't come get it yet. And it was just tossed.
That's the, that's Ken Kelly, right? The
original. Yeah, it's Ken Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What got you hooked on Kiss as a kid? What was the moment? What was the album, the concert, the magazine? Do you remember the first time you laid eyes on Kiss and said, this is my band?
Yeah, it was June of 1977. And I was walking through Sears. And Love Gun just came out and they had the big display of mm-hmm. Love Gun and then all the records were, you know, scattered around. And that was it. I was like, oh God, I want to get this because I loved Monsters and I loved music. And it was like Monsters with guitars, you know? And so That's what did it for me. And, you know, it's every kid has that story.
Yeah, yeah. I remember walking through Sears and getting Destroyer on cassette. That was my moment, you know.
Yeah.
It was also Sears. Sears was your place. That was your go-to place back then, right?
Mine was the kids in my neighborhood. We all had older brothers, and the older brothers all had cooler record collections than we did because we were punk-ass kids.
Yeah.
And I'm over at my friend's house, and he's going, have you heard this yet? And he puts on Kiss Alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it had just come out.
That'll do it.
And he's showed. He hands me the album cover, and then you know Strutter comes on, and I'm like, "Oh my God!" You know, no, well, Deuce. It was song one, right? And so I'm like, "Whoa!" And I'm like, "Oh my God!" And I like ran home, jumping up and down, and freaking out. And a week later, my walls were covered. So
yeah. It's that's how it happens. And
but hearing it and seeing it at the same time, do you feel like it doesn't matter if you you said you like Monsters and music, so that was enough for you. I mean, obviously it doesn't matter. You were hooked immediate and you hadn't even heard a note.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of the stories I hear from people, it was they first saw the image.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made him buy the record. You know, I was like, whoa. And it's, you know, really smart. Really, really smart.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your first Kiss concert?
I was too young to see him during the makeup years, but it was Lick It Up. So right after.
Okay. Yeah. I got a late start on concerts too, but I did get to see him. My first concert was Creatures of the Night. So.
Oh, God. Where?
San Antonio, Texas, and guess who the opening band was?
Who?
The Plasmatics.
Oh, that's right. I knew that. That's amazing. Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So give us the nuts and bolts on this museum. How do people get tickets? What can they expect when they show up and knock on the door? I understand you're going to be giving guided tours. Give us the rundown on how this works.
So there's six people a day. And the reason there's six people is so I can spend time with each person, answer every question, go through things with them, tell stories, hang out. And then if you're really, because a lot of hardcore fans are coming and they want to go through things, you know, so they'll be able to really go through things and look at little variants and really get into detail. So that will happen. We're going to play pinball. I have two pinball machines here. So original. And, you know, because when you're a kid, if you found a Kiss pinball machine, it was like amazing. So, yeah
we'll play. You didn't want to go home.
Yeah, you didn't want to go home.
Right.
So, we'll play pinball together. It's just going to be so fun for everyone. And, you know, like I was thinking meet and greets. You know, during shows and stuff like that, those last for like 30 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, whenever I did like a meet and greet, I always spent a lot of time with people and talked with people. And that's what I wanted to do with this. I wanted to like hang with people and really talk about everything and go through everything. And because I think, you know, who knows, this could be the only time this is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of collectors, they don't even send pictures of their stuff. You know, they don't send pictures. It's crazy. So, you know, the doors will be open and it's going to be a blast. And tickets have been going insane. So I'm super happy about it.
And it's awesome. In Los Angeles, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you going to have security?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
SWAT team.
No, you. Oh, yeah.
There's cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
There's cameras everywhere. There's cameras everywhere and there's security and all that stuff. Yeah. So
speaking of collectors, obviously you're a Kiss collector. Now you've been in bands with some guys that have some pretty extensive collections. Like I know, Mick Mars collects stuff. Rob Zombie collects stuff. Manson collects stuff. Do any of those guys have a collection that either rivals you or you're kind of envious of and going, oh man, I got to get my collection looking like this guy's or impressive or, you know, tell me about some of the collections that you've been connected with via your bandmates.
I mean, I think Rick Nielsen like has a crazy guitar collection, mm-hmm. beyond crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Zombie has an unbelievable collection of memorabilia of like, you know, movie posters and everything horror, you know, it's like unbelievable. It's like crazy huge collections. And I love that collective soul. I think it's really cool because it takes so much time and patience to document and to do everything and to really do research. And look at Kirk Hammett. I mean, his collection is insane. Insane.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a lot of fun. And that's what it's all meant to be. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think we can agree. I mean, we're on a much smaller scale than you, of course, but just look at our backgrounds. I mean, we've been
cool. Yeah, of course.
Since we were teenagers too, you know.
Yeah, of course. You know, and it makes you happy. It's wonderful. And that's what it's, you know, here for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're in our late 50s. Jason just turned 60, and this stuff isn't going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are things that I've had my entire life, just like you.
Yeah.
And I can't. If you try to lend them or sell them or throw them or, you know, it's not going to happen because you've had your whole life to decide, I'm finally going to grow up. You know, I don't think that is in the cards.
Missed that.
Oh, no. Yeah. Like people would, you know, they collect stamps or anything like that. So yeah. It's been going on forever. There's a great documentary. I don't know if you guys like documentaries, but there's a documentary called Living with Lincoln and on HBO. Mm-hmm. HBO Max, it will blow your mind. Talk about a collection. So it's about this soldier from the Civil War, and Lincoln came to thank the soldiers for doing a great job. And the soldier was like, oh my God, I just met Lincoln, and started collecting like news, anything Lincoln back then. He had a collection, passed it on to his son. And then his son passed it on, so forth. And this collection was so massive that this is where, from this original collection, that's where we have the image for the penny, the $5 bill, the Lincoln Monument, Mount Rushmore, and from this collection. And it's an incredible documentary called Living with Lincoln. And it goes through, you know, years and years and years and years and years of collecting. It's a great story.
Wow.
So we all have one. We all have a story.
Yeah, of course. As a guitar player, is it safe to say that Ace is your favorite member of Kiss?
Or am actually, I know it's weird to say, but they all were. I love each guy so much. I was, for Halloween back in the 70s, I was a different member every year.
Yeah.
So I really loved them all.
Yeah, of course. I think we all did that. I remember Gene. I remember being Ace, and
yeah, I went back and forth, Paul and Gene. So
yeah.
Well, man, I know we only have about 30 minutes with you, and we're getting close to time. I didn't want to. I want to respect your time, but I do appreciate you sharing with us. And the museum sounds awesome for Kiss nerds and just collectors.
An incredible time. I mean, not only are they going to like see a complete history of that era, they get to spend time with someone who has a romance with it and a passion for the whole thing. And on the sidebar, it's John 5.
And you guys,
they get to hang out with fucking John 5, man.
Play pinball with John 5.
Man. It's really great.
It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of fun.
You're going to have as much fun as anybody else that comes through the door. Yeah.
I know. It's going to be great. You know,
good on you, man. Super happy to hear that you're doing this, of course. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, we thank you for your time today. We wish you success with the museum. I'm sure it's going to be a blast. I can't wait to hear all the news stories and reports and fans talking about, you know, their experience there. It's obviously a very, very cool, unique, one-of-a-kind collection. So thanks for spending time and sharing it with us today. On behalf of my co-host, Jason McMaster, I'm Metal Dave, along with our special guest today, John 5, on the Talk Louder podcast.
That was fantastic.
That was.
Yeah.